Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It is so good to see you. It is such a wonderful opportunity for us to be together on this Monday night to come together to worship, to sing, to pray, to study from the Word of God. I'm so glad to see all of you here, and I'm just glad that I'm able to be here to serve and preach in the gospel. Thank you so much for the opportunity again to be able to be here to serve this week. I really appreciate it. If you have your Bible with you, will you take it out and go over into your New Testament to the book of 1 John? Please go on your Bibles to the book of 1 John. The majority of our study tonight will be coming from the book of 1 John. So you might want to go ahead and just put your Bible marker there in the book of 1 John. I would like to begin this study tonight by reading 1 John, the 5th chapter. And I want to start with verse number 13 and go down to verse 15. Let's let these verses just kind of set the scene for what we want to talk about tonight in our study from God's Word. Here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, the Apostle John is writing to Christians, the people of God. And he says in verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know," notice that, "so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we've asked from him." Brothers and sisters, these verses right here we just read together are some very powerful and inspiring verses. They are verses that are actually designed to give us confidence and assurance in our faith. In fact, when it comes to this text we just read, I want you to notice how the Apostle John has two very specific things in mind. First, I want you to notice how in verses 14 through 15, he mentions prayer. Do you see prayer there in those verses? John says that when it comes to prayer, when it comes to our communication with God, we can have confidence that God hears us. He says that when we pray, we can have confidence that God is listening to us, that no matter what's going on in the world right now, no matter what's going on in Africa or Asia or Australia or the Middle East, no matter what's going on in the world, God will always make time to listen to what we have to say. And he will attend to our supplications in our best interest. Here John says, as Christians, as the people of God, we can have absolute confidence that God will listen to us when we pray. That God will always listen to our supplications, but not only can we have confidence when it comes to prayer. Secondly, I want you to notice how in verse 13, John also says we can have confidence when it comes to our salvation. As we go about our daily lives, John says we can know that we have eternal life. We can know that we are truly in a saved condition. We can know that we're truly right with the Lord. John says we can have confidence in that. And brothers and sisters, what a truly fascinating and marvelous thought that is to think about. In fact, I want to suggest to you that what John is saying here is actually quite radical in the minds of a lot of people, even in the minds of a lot of God's people. You see, unfortunately, one of the things that I have noticed is I have been blessed to preach the gospel in Texas and in Florida and now in Tennessee and in various parts of the country and even the world. One of the things I have noticed, my friends, is for so many of God's very own people, they live their lives every single day in doubt. Haven't you noticed that before? From the time they wake up in the morning, they'll confess. They doubt their salvation. They doubt their standing with God. They doubt that they're actually on a path that will lead them to heaven. Unfortunately, for so many Christians, they live with that mentality every single day. For so many Christians, every day, they doubt their salvation. But I want you to notice how, according to what John says in this verse, that's not the will of God for his people. That's not how God wants his people to live their lives. According to what John says, it is not the will of God that Christians walk around doubting their salvation all throughout the day. It is not the will of God that Christians doubt their salvation even as they gather in this place tonight to worship the Lord. You see, instead of doubting our salvation, God wants us to have confidence. God wants us to have assurance. God wants us to have confidence that right now we're right with him. Right now we have eternal life. Right now we have a home in heaven waiting for us if the Lord came back tonight. That's the kind of mentality God wants us to have when it comes to our eternal destinies. God wants us to have confidence. God wants us to have assurance. In fact, isn't that exactly what we strive for in nearly every aspect of life? Ladies and gentlemen, is it not true that as we live our lives each and every day, we try to take advantage of opportunities all the time to live our lives with confidence, to live our lives with assurance, to live our lives with a peace of mind? I mean, do we not strive to have that in every aspect of life? For example, isn't that exactly why we purchase car insurance? I mean, think about it. Why do we purchase car insurance? Well, we get car insurance because we want to be able to drive down the road with the confidence of knowing that if we happen to get in a car accident, we can at least get our car repaired and avoid going to jail. I mean, isn't that why we get homeowners insurance? I don't know about you, but it gives me a great peace of mind knowing that if a tornado happened to hit my house in Tennessee, if a tornado happened to wipe my house off the map, at least I can get some insurance money to build me another home. And isn't that exactly why we do things like save a little money, put a little money aside from our paycheck each week? Why do we do stuff like that? Well, hopefully we do stuff like that in case we happen to lose our jobs. In case we happen to lose our employment, we can have the assurance of knowing that we can eat and pay our bills for a few months until we can find us another job. What I just want you to see is in nearly every aspect of life, we relish opportunities to live our lives with confidence, to live our lives with assurance. And yet when it comes to the most important aspect of our lives, when it comes to where our eternal souls are going to be when this life is over, unfortunately, when it comes to that, we live in doubt. Unfortunately, when it comes to the most important aspect of our lives, we're just not sure of how that's going to end up. We're just not sure of where we're going to be when our souls exit this body. See, so often when it comes to that aspect of our lives, we live our lives in doubt. And that's really a sad thing. That's really a sad thing. That's really a sad mentality that to live with in life if you are a Christian. And I got to just emphasize to you again, that's not how God wants us to live. That's not how God wants us to live every single day. That is actually how the devil wants us to live. You see, it is the devil who wants us to go around doubting when we stand before God. It is the devil who wants us to live wondering every single day if we're really right with God. It is the devil who wants us to go around pondering and really afraid of what's going to happen to us when death occurs. That's how the devil wants us to live. But again, that's not how God wants us to live. According to what John says, God wants us to live every day knowing that we have eternal life. God wants us to live knowing that we have a right relationship with him. That's what God wants me to know. That's what he wants you to know. But here's the real question. The question is, how can we know that? How can we know that we have eternal life? How can we know? How can we be certain that right now, even on this night, we are truly right with God? How can we know that right now, even as we assemble in this place, we have heaven waiting on us? How can we know that we have eternal life? Well, my friends, if you don't mind, that is exactly the question that I want us to try to find a Bible answer to tonight. Tonight, as we continue in this series entitled, What Can You Be Certain Of? As we continue in our third lesson in this series, tonight I want us to attempt to answer the question of how can we know, how can we be certain that we have eternal life? Tonight I want to suggest to you that according to the Bible, we can know that. We can be certain of that. We don't have to walk around in doubt every day. We don't have to walk around with our heads down. We don't have to walk around in fear and worry. No, according to the Bible, according to what John says here in 1 John, if you are a Christian, if you are a member of the Lord's church, if you've had your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, you can live your life right now knowing that you have eternal life. If you want to do three things. First, right now, if you want to know you have eternal life, the first thing you got to do is, number one, you got to make sure you're obeying the commandments of God. If you want to know you have eternal life, you have to make sure you're obeying the commandments of God. And so you're in the book of 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to be in the book of 1 John for the majority of this study. And let's read what the Bible says, starting in verse 3. In verse number 3 of 1 John, again, remember, John is writing to Christians. And he says, by this we know. By this we know. And it's interesting to me just how much John uses the word know in this letter. I mean, I really want you to notice that tonight. He says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in him. I want you to go now to 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 2. Go to 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 2. Let's add to that by reading this. In verse 2, John says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I want you to notice how in both of these passages we just read, John emphasized the importance of obeying God. He says that we can know God if we keep his commandments. He says that we demonstrate our love for God when we keep his commandments. Here, John is emphasizing the importance of obeying and keeping the commandments of God. But the question is, what specific commandments is he referring to? What specific commandments is John referring to when he says that we can know that we know God when we keep his commandments? What commandments are John talking about there? Well, before I tell you what commandments John is talking about, let me first tell you what commandments he's not talking about. First, let me suggest to you that when John talks about keeping the commandments of God, he's not talking about the law of Moses, which included the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about the law of Moses, which included the Ten Commandments. And the reason I feel the need to emphasize that to you is because, unfortunately, for so many people in our society today, they sincerely believe that we're obligated to keep that Old Testament law that was given through Moses at Mount Sinai, which included the Ten Commandments. A lot of people believe that we are supposed to keep that Old Testament law, but brothers and sisters, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. You see, we have to understand that that old law that was given through God's servant Moses at Mount Sinai was only given to one nation of people at that time, and that was the people of Israel. It was only given to the people of Israel, and then that law would only be valid up until the time of the cross. You see, once Jesus died on the cross, that old law given through Moses was done away with. It was nailed to the cross of Jesus. Paul teaches that in Colossians chapter 2 and in Romans chapter 7. That's one of the most taught on things in the New Testament. And so let's be clear. When John talks about keeping the commandments of God, he's not talking about the law of Moses, which included the Ten Commandments. That's not what he's talking about, and neither is he also not talking about the commandments and the traditions of men. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments, and he's not talking about the commandments of men. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says that God is not pleased when we put the commandments and the traditions of men as being equal or above the commandments of God. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul also says that we can't expect to please God and men at the same time. And so let's be clear. Let's be clear when we suggest that when John talks about the commandments of God, he's not talking about the law of Moses. Not talking about those Ten Commandments. Not talking about the commandments and the traditions of men. Instead, when John talks about the commandments of God, he's talking about the commandments found in the law of the gospel. He's talking about the commandments found in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Those are the commandments John is referring to when he says that we can know that we know God when we keep his commandments. He's talking about the commandments of Jesus, the commandments of the gospel. In fact, I submit to you that what John is referring to there is really no different than what Jesus himself emphasized all through his ministry. And let me show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to be showing you several verses now in the four Gospels. You can keep your finger in 1 John. We're going to come back there. But go to Matthew 28. Let me just show you some things that Jesus said about this. And let's start with Matthew 28. In Matthew 28 and verse number 18. In verse 18, this is Jesus before he ascends to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. Before ascending to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, Jesus is going to give what we call the Great Commission. Remember that? He's going to give the Great Commission. And notice what he says in verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Notice here how Jesus says that as Christians, we have a responsibility to try to win other people for him. We go, we teach the gospel. When people are ready to respond to the gospel, we baptize them by the authority of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But after we baptize them, we continue to teach them. We teach them the laws of Jesus. We teach them the commandments of the gospel. Jesus says that after you become a disciple, you got to keep obeying his commandments. That's what the Lord is saying there. Now put that what you find in John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 48. In John the 12th chapter, in verse number 48, Jesus says this. Jesus says in verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke, not the word Moses spoke, not the words of the Old Testament prophets, not the words in the traditions of men. Jesus says the word that I spoke, that is what's going to judge you on the last day. Jesus says not only must we keep his commandments, but we got to understand that his law, his standard, that's what we're going to be judged by on the judgment day. That's what Jesus says. Now go to John chapter 14 and John 14 and verse 15. In John 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my what? You'll keep my commandments. Look at verse number 21. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be the love of my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Look at chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse number 14, Jesus says in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. What I want you to notice is how over and over and over again, Jesus emphasized the same point John emphasizes in the book of 1 John. According to Jesus, when we obey his teachings, when we obey his gospel, we can know that we're truly his people. We can know that we're truly his friends. We can know that we truly love him. We can know if we're truly on a path to heaven. That's what Jesus says, right? According to Jesus, when we just do what he says, when we just obey him, we don't have to live our lives in doubt. We don't have to live our lives worrying all the time. Instead, we can have confidence. We can live knowing with certainty that we're truly right with him. That's what the Lord said. Jesus says we can know that we have eternal life if we keep his commandments. And so let me ask you this now. Now that we've emphasized that, let me ask you, are you obeying the commandments of God? Are you obeying the commandments of Jesus? Are you doing your best every single day, even right now as I speak to you? Are you doing your best to obey the law of the gospel? Are you doing that, my friend? For example, have you obeyed the commandments he's given to become a Christian? Have you obeyed the commandments he's given to have your sins washed away by his blood and be a member of his universal body of saved people? Have you obeyed Mark 16 and verse 16? A simple verse and a very powerful verse. There Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you turned away from sin? Remember in Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus says, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. Have you repented? Have you turned away from sin and turned to the Lord? In Romans 10, verse 9, Paul says that we must confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Lord. Have you done that? Have you confessed him as your Lord and Savior? Have you obeyed the commandments that he's given to become a Christian? You know, I'm pretty sure that for the majority of you in this room, if not all of you in this room, you've obeyed those commandments. I'm pretty sure that for the majority of you here tonight, you've obeyed the commandments that have been given to become a Christian, to become a member of the Lord's church. But now that you've done that, let me ask you this now. Are you obeying the commandment that's been given to grow in your faith? Are you obeying that commandment, the commandment that we have been given, me and you, to grow in our knowledge of the word of God? And 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says we have to grow in our knowledge of the word of God. That is so important because you can't obey the commandments of God if you don't first know the commandments of God. That's common sense. You can't obey what you don't know. You can't obey what you haven't heard. You see, to obey the commandments of God, you got to know the commandments of God. And the only way you're going to know the commandments of God is you're going to have to read them. You're going to have to study them. You got to meditate on them all the time. See, if we're going to obey the commandments of God, then we got to know them. We got to know them before we're able to obey them. And so are you striving to grow in your knowledge of God's word? Somebody says, well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been a Christian for 50 years. My friend, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 100 years. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 still applies to you. There's no age limit on that verse. Peter says, as long as you have life in your body, as long as you're on this earth and you're a child of God, you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to grow every day in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a responsibility we all have. We're going to be doing that until the day we die. At least we're supposed to. And so are we obeying the commandment to grow? And what about when it comes to worship? Are we obeying the commandments we've been given when it comes to worship? Are we worshiping God with zeal and with passion? You know, I know you do the right mechanics. I know that for a fact. I saw that for myself Sunday. You go through the right mechanics, but beyond the mechanics, are we as the people of God, are we putting our hearts in our worship? Are we worshiping God with zeal? Are we worshiping God with passion? Are we focused when we worship the Lord? You know, the Lord commands us to do that as well. Remember John 4:24? As Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, he said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit, meaning with your heart, with zeal, with passion, with focus. You worship in spirit and you worship in truth. That means according to the word of God. But notice, we worship not only with the right mechanics, but we worship with our hearts, with focus and with zeal. And the question is, are we doing that? For example, when we sing these songs, like even the songs we sang tonight, are we focusing intently on the words? Do we understand the words we're singing? Are we trying to sing with an understanding and put our hearts in our singing? When we take the Lord's Supper on Sunday, are we just breaking the bread and drinking the juice to check it off on our spiritual box, or off our spiritual checklist? Or are we really thinking about what it represents? Are we really taking ourselves back 2,000 years and thinking about the death of Jesus and what he did for us at Calvary? When the preacher preaches, are we listening intently to what he says? Are we taking a few notes? Are we following along in our Bibles? When we give, are we giving sacrificially and generously because we appreciate what God has done for us? Are we putting our hearts in our worship? Are we worshiping in spirit and in truth? And then what about this? What about when it comes to evangelism? What about that? I mean, as Christians, as an individual disciple, am I at least making an effort to fulfill the Great Commission? To go out into the world and making disciples of the nations? Am I at least making an effort to do my part in that great work? And what about when it comes to me being a Christian and I sin against God? Because you all know, as Christians, we sin against God. We fall short from time to time, do we not? There are no sinless Christians in this room tonight. And when we do sin as Christians, are we quick to confess the sin? To turn away from the sin and ask God to forgive us for what we've done? That's what we're commanded to do in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And then what about this? What about when I have a problem with my brother or sister? What about the commandment I've been given to go to my brother or my sister whenever I have a problem with them and work out that problem face to face? I got to read this verse. Go to Matthew chapter 18. I got to read this verse because I'm going to tell y'all something. I believe this verse may be the most neglected commandment among Christians today. I really believe that. Look at Matthew 18 and verse 15. This may be the most neglected commandment among the people of God today. In Matthew 18 and verse 15, Jesus says, if your brother sins, some of your translations may say if your brother sins against you, right? If your brother sins, you go and you show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. Notice how that if a brother sins against me, if a sister sins against me, am I supposed to go and tell brother Kevin about it, brother Dave about it? Am I supposed to go and gossip about my brother, go tell somebody else and try to bring a bad reputation upon my brother? No, according to the Bible, what am I supposed to do when I got a problem with a brother? I'm supposed to go to him, right? I'm supposed to go to him face to face and have the courage and love to work out that problem face to face. That's what Jesus says. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's a commandment. And the question is, am I obeying that commandment? Am I obeying the commandments of Jesus? Now, there are a whole host of other commandments we could put on this slide. You know it and I know it, but I think you get the point. The point is, when we just learn and apply what Jesus said, we have nothing to worry about when it comes to our salvation. Jesus says that those who learn and apply his commandments, they can live with confidence. They can live with the assurance of knowing that if they died today or if the Lord came back today, they'll be ready to go to heaven, to be with him forever. You see, people who obey the commandments of God, they got nothing to worry about. It is the people who are not striving to obey the commandments of God. Those are the people who need to worry. It is the people who are in the world, who are rejecting the Bible, who are rejecting the commandments of God. Those are the people who need to worry, not the true people of God. Those who are striving to do their best to obey Jesus, to obey his law, they got nothing to fear. They got nothing to worry about. Jesus says you can know that you have eternal life if you obey his law. That's the first thing you got to do to have that confidence, but that's not the only thing you got to do. Yes, if we want to have this assurance that we have eternal life, we got to obey the commandments of God. But secondly, now I want to suggest to you that if we want to have this confidence, secondly, we got to make sure we love our brother. We got to make sure we love our sisters. And so go back to 1 John. Let's read it from the Bible. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's read the verses. The verses say this. Do not be surprised, brethren. If the world hates you, we know that we passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I want you to drop down to verse 23 of that same chapter. 1 John 4:23. Here the Bible says, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. I want you to go to chapter 4 now. Look at chapter 4 and verse 19. In chapter 4 and verse 19, John says, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. I want you to notice again, we find language that is designed to give us confidence and assurance in our faith. Notice carefully how John is telling us that we can know that we're truly right with God if we love one another, if we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. John says we got to love each other, got to love each other. And somebody says, well, why do we have to love each other? Why is that so important? Well, let me give you several reasons why that's important. First, this is important. We got to love each other, number one, because God is love. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that? Wouldn't you agree that God is love? God is love is what the Bible says. When we say God is love, we mean God's very essence is love. God's very nature is love. And when we love each other, we're demonstrating a quality and a characteristic of our Father. We're striving to look like our Father. Children are to look like their Father. And when we love, that's one of the ways in which we can look like God. Because God is love. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. And when we love, that's one of the ways we show the world that we're really God's children. Because we are demonstrating an attribute and a quality of God. And so we love because God is love. But secondly, we also love each other because we can't honestly say we love God if we don't. And then at the point John made in 1 John chapter 4, remember John said, it's not reasonable to suggest that you love God whom you haven't seen and you don't love your brother who you see all the time. John says it doesn't make any kind of sense. How can you say you love somebody you haven't seen and you don't love the person you see all the time? That doesn't make any sense. And so we love because we can't honestly say we love God if we don't love each other. But then thirdly, we also love because that's one of the marks of authentic discipleship. Look at John chapter 13. I'm going in my Bible now to John 13 and verse 35 in the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. In verse number 35, Jesus says this. He says, by this, here he's talking about by loving each other in the context, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus says one of the marks of an authentic disciple, one of the marks of a true child of God, is when we love each other as brothers and sisters. We love because that's a mark of true discipleship. And then finally, we also love because simply it's a commandment. Loving each other is a commandment. And that really connects us back to our first point. Remember with our first point, we learned that one of the ways in which we can know we are saved is if we obey the commandments of God. We have to obey the commandments of God to know that we're right with God. And one of the commandments of God is that we love each other. We have to love our brethren. We love our brothers and sisters. We love because God says, I want you to love each other. I command you to love each other. Are you still in John chapter 13? Look at verse 34. John 13 and verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment I give to you. That you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Look at chapter 15, John 15 and verse 17. In John 15 and verse 17, Jesus says, this I command you, that you love one another. We're commanded to love each other. The love we have for one another, it is so important to us being able to have the confidence God wants us to have. We got to love each other. We're going to know we have eternal life. And so now that we brought this out, let me just ask you. Are you doing that, my friend? Are you striving hard every day to love your brother like God commands? Do you hold all your brothers and sisters in Christ? Doesn't matter their gender, their race, how much money they have, how much education they have. Do you hold all your brothers and sisters in high regard? Do you really view every Christian as part of your family? Do you view them that way? For example, do you seek to spend quality time with your brothers and sisters, not just in the worship assembly like this, but also outside of the worship assembly? Remember in Acts 2 and verse 46, we learn that the early Christians in Jerusalem, they spent time together in the worship assembly, at the temple, and also outside of the worship assembly. They spent time with each other all the time, day after day. And the question is, are we striving to do that? Are we striving to spend time with each other, not just here, but also outside these walls? Do you treat all your brothers and sisters like you want to be treated? You know Matthew 7 verse 12. What did Jesus say? Do unto others as what? As you have them do unto you. Do you live by that when it comes to the relationship you have with your brothers and sisters? When your brother or sister does you wrong and seeks reconciliation, are you quick to forgive them and bury the hatchet and move on? Or are you more likely to harbor a bitter grudge, to hold that over their head for months and even years? Are you kind and encouraging to your brethren? Are you always trying to build them up and stimulate them to love and good deeds? Or are you quick to always point out the faults you see in them? Or are you quick to always look to tear them down and start a fight with them? Does that describe you? Whenever your brother or sister does something questionable to you, they do something questionable, they say something kind of questionable to you, are you quick to assume the best in their words and actions, or are you quick to always assume the worst? You remember Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, he says that love believes all things. That means we assume the best in each other until proven otherwise. Whenever your brother or sister is harboring sin, are you quick to go to them directly and help them point out their sin so they can get right with God? Or are you willing to sit down with them and open the Bible and help them see the error of their ways? Or are you looking to other people to do that for you? Are you looking to the elders to do that first? Or to the preacher to do that first? Are you looking to others to help restore your brothers and sisters when you know they're not doing something right? And whenever you have a problem with your brother, are you willing to take the initiative to go to them face to face and work out that problem face to face? Or are you quicker to gossip about them and harbor a bitterness and a grudge behind their back? Brothers and sisters, if we say no to any of these questions, if we say no to any of them, then it's certainly understandable why we might doubt our salvation. That's understandable. You see, according to the Bible, people who don't demonstrate love towards their brethren, they have no right to think they're going to heaven. They have no right to think they're on a path to eternal life. But those who love like Jesus loves, those who love like Jesus commands, they can know that they're truly right with God. They can know that they have eternal life. If you want to know you have eternal life, obey the commandments of God. Love your brothers and sisters, but there's one more thing I want to show you real quick and we'll be done. Third and finally, if you want to live with this confidence each and every day, then make sure that in addition to the first two things, you're also truly committed to the Lord. Truly committed to the Lord. Go back to 1 John one more time. And this time I want to go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 23, please. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. We just emphasized the second part of this verse, but now I want to emphasize the first part. And I want you to pay close attention to the language, okay? Verse 23. This is his commandment, that we believe. Notice that word believe. That we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. I want you to pay close attention to that word believe that's in that verse. Do you see that word? That is the same exact word that's also used in 1 John 5 and verse 13, where John says we can know, for those who believe in the name of the Son of God, you can know that you have eternal life. That's the same word. Now, this word believe that John uses here, when you look it up, it goes well beyond the idea of mere mental assent. It goes well beyond the idea of the mere acknowledgement of facts. Instead, this word believe here involves commitment. It involves trust. It involves devotion. It involves steadfastness. It involves a pledging of our lives to Jesus. This word John is using here is telling us something very important. It's telling us that in addition to trying to please and serve Jesus here in this place right here, we strive to please him every single day. We strive to serve him and be committed and loyal to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what John is talking about here. And that's something that Jesus emphasized all through his ministry in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There Jesus is talking about following him all the time, being a committed disciple. That's what the Lord is talking about there. You put that what you find in John 8 and verse 31. And there Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Again, Jesus is talking about commitment. Authentic discipleship, following him all the time. Jesus wants people who are going to be committed to him all the time. And so let me just ask you now, are you that? Are you truly committed to Jesus? Are you truly committed to Jesus? Please understand that when I ask that question, I'm referring to doing more than just coming to one or two services during the week. You see, beyond just coming to worship services, people who are truly committed to Jesus will do things like strive every single day to shine their lights in this dark and sinful world. People who are really committed to Jesus on their job, at school, in their communities, they're always going to be living in such a way where people can see them and say, that person is a Christian. They don't curse. They don't use the Lord's name in vain. They're not laughing at dirty jokes. People who are truly committed to Jesus, they're shining their light all the time. And not only are they shining their lights, but they're not ashamed to point out religious error whenever they hear it being promoted. They're not shying away from learning whatever their spiritual talents are in the kingdom of God, whether it's being an elder or a deacon or a song leader or a Bible class teacher or an encourager or somebody who just cleans the building. Whatever spiritual talent a committed disciple has, you know what they're going to do? They're going to learn what that talent is and use it to the best of their ability to glorify God. That's what a committed disciple is going to do. And when rough times come their way, when they lose a job, or they get diagnosed with cancer, or they're even insulted and treated unfairly by a brother or a sister in the church, people who are truly committed to Jesus, even though they may go through that kind of stuff, they're not going to take that out on Jesus. They're not going to take their frustrations out on Jesus. They're not going to use their negative circumstances as an opportunity to quit on Jesus and stop giving Jesus their best service. No matter what comes their way, people who are truly committed to Jesus, you know what they're going to do? No matter what, they're going to serve Jesus. They're never going to leave him. They're always going to be committed to him and loyal to him because they truly appreciate what he did for them 2,000 years ago on the cross. See, those are the kinds of things that a committed disciple is going to do. And again, let me just ask you, are you truly committed tonight? Are you truly committed to Jesus as the Lord of your life? If so, then my friend, you got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to worry about when it comes to your salvation. You got nothing to fear. You can live right now knowing that you have eternal life. You see, it is those who are not committed. Those are the ones who need to worry. It's the hypocrites. It's the pretenders. Those are the ones who need to worry, but not committed disciples. Those who are truly trying to do their very best every day to give God their best service, they can live with certainty. They can live with confidence. They don't have to live with fear. God says those people, they can have confidence that they are truly saved. Now, my friends, that's what the Bible says about this issue. That's what the Bible says. And I know even after studying this for the last 40 minutes, I know there's still going to probably be some Christians who are going to leave here. They're going to get in their car tonight. And they're still going to doubt their salvation. I know for a fact that there's still going to be some people who may hear this Bible teaching, and they're still going to leave here with their heads down. They're not going to have any confidence. They're going to walk around thinking to themselves, well, there's just no way I can know if I'm right with God. There's just no way I can know if I'm going to heaven until the judgment day. Maybe on the judgment day when I stand before Jesus, he'll look at me and he'll let me slide into heaven through the back door some kind of way. I know there's still going to be some Christians who leave here tonight thinking that way. And I think that's really a shame. I really do. I think that's really a shame because to me, what that shows is these people really don't trust God. They really don't trust in the Bible. They really don't trust in the promises of God. They don't trust 1 John 5:13, where John says, for those who believe in the name of the Son of God, you can know, not doubt, not guess, you can know that you have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. That's what God wants you to have. You know, we got to understand that Jesus didn't come to this earth. He didn't come to this earth and get slapped around, spit on, beaten, suffer to his last breath on a cross, get buried in a tomb and raised from the dead. He didn't go through all that stuff so we can live with doubt every day. He didn't go through all that stuff for that. He went through that stuff so his people can have confidence. So they can have confidence that if they obey his commandments, love one another, and be committed to him, they're ready to go to heaven. That's what Jesus wants us to have. That's why Jesus died. That's one of the great blessings of being a Christian. And so tonight, as we get ready to close, can I just ask you, where are you right now? Do you have confidence? Do you have confidence that if you die tonight Well, if Jesus came back, you'd be ready to go to heaven. If you don't have that confidence, why don't you have it? Is it because you know deep down inside you're not obeying the commandments of God? You haven't obeyed the commandments to become a Christian? You haven't believed in him and repented of your sins and been baptized? If you haven't done that, it's time for you to do that tonight and leave here with the confidence God wants you to have. If you have done those things in the past, but you still don't have that confidence, is it because you know you haven't been loving your brother like you're supposed to, or that you haven't been truly committed to Jesus? If that describes you tonight, you can repent. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you, and God will forgive you. And you can leave here with confidence as well. And so tonight, if there's anyone here subject to the invitation in any way, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to invite you to come to the front so you can have the confidence God wants you to have. Let us help you now, please, as we stand, as we sing.
Live for Jesus.